Jeremiah chapter number 1 and verse number 5. I'll be reading from the King James Version. The Bible says, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations."
For 40 years, we've lived with a silent, and sometimes not so silent, Holocaust in our midst. The lives of 55 million innocent, unborn babies have been killed. Killed. Plucked from their journey to enter this world. Who were they? Who would they have been? Well, one example, the unmarried graduate student who gave birth to the high-tech guru and co-founder of Apple, Steve Jobs, could very well have aborted the child if her pregnancy had occurred in 1973 rather than 1955. And there'd be no Apple. Just think of what all of those babies could have done. This past week, Gabrielle Giffords, recovering victim of a crazy gunman herself, along with her husband, Mark Kelly, was in Newtown, Connecticut, the scene of the latest horrible shooting incident. And in their public remarks, they made an expression that I thought was very good. They talked about the desensitized acts of violence. We really, I think, in our nation, have become desensitized to the horrible, horrible things that happen. In our nation, we are willing to tolerate, even nurture, the open and flourishing presence of evil in our society. And that takes a deadening of the soul. That takes a desensitizing. And we know there our souls are desensitized, that as a nation, if not as individuals, because when those senses are awakened, something happens. Our indifference and our willingness to tolerate is pushed back. When William Wilberforce, whom you may not even know, fought to abolish the slave trade in England, he did a very shrewd thing. He threw a dinner party on a yacht and then put it right beside a slave ship, where the horrible stench of hundreds of humans laying for months at a time, unable to cleanse themselves of their body waste or anything else, the stench would have been horrible, and it was. And their senses were awakened, and things started happening. When we look at our society today, and we realize what's going on, we can be just like the reformed slave trader that wrote the song that we just sung, Amazing Grace. Did you know he was a reformed slave trader? That was his life's work. He was a captain of a ship that brought slaves from Africa. And he really meant what he said when that unforgettable line, "I was blind, but now I see. I was lost, but now I'm saved." I believe our nation is in a very blind state. We just don't see it. And we don't want to hear about it. But there is some good news. I was very excited. Time magazine, in a cover story, announced, and I quote, 40 years ago, abortion right activists won an epic victory with Roe versus Wade, and they've been losing ever since. And all I can say is I pray that that's true. I really do. Kate Pickard is the author of the piece that goes with that headline, and she noted that ultrasound has reduced the willingness of Americans to tolerate abortion. She writes, and I quote, "Thanks to prenatal ultrasound, Americans now understand what a fetus looks like, and that babies born as early as 24 weeks can survive." But abortion's still legal. Still legal. I think ultrasound is sensitizing a desensitized America. I really do. I think people are starting to see and hopefully stopping to tolerate this horrible thing that has been going on for 40 years. 40 years. Now, wars aren't won overnight. Wars are won battle by battle by battle. And I think that's what's been going on. Wilberforce didn't stop slavery, by the way. He stopped the slave trade. Folks were still able to own other human beings. But they weren't allowed to ship them and to sell them anymore. And that was a start. That was a start. Lincoln's first aspiration was not to abolish slavery. What he tried to do first was to make it illegal for new states to join the Union that were slave states. Battle by battle by battle, the wars are won. I think the battle for us today is to make sure that American souls continue to awaken and to do all that we can to end the waste of taxpayer dollars, your dollars, that are going to Planned Parenthood. As a matter of fact, we, you and I, provide better than half of their budget, and they are the world's largest abortion provider. We need to understand, and I think most of us do, that the very basic fundamentals of human life begin in Genesis. And that you and I are part of God's eternal plan. In Ephesians, the second chapter, in verse number 10, says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." God has a plan. And we are a part of that plan. And it's an eternal plan. We need to make sure we, individually, we, congregationally, we, brotherhood-wide, we, fulfill our part in that plan. Were you listening to what was read for us in Jeremiah, the first chapter? When we're told that God knew Jeremiah before he formed him in the womb. Did you catch that? Before I formed thee in the womb, he said, I knew thee. And before thou came forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and ordained thee a prophet unto the nation. God told Jeremiah, I knew you before your mother knew you. I understood you before you were even born. On September 11th, 2001, over 3,500 people were killed in the World Trade Center in New York City. In that crowd of people, 3,500 of them were potential doctors, scientists, preachers, maybe even future world leaders who never had the opportunity to fulfill their place in life because they were taken out by terrorists. And there was a horrible outcry. But you know what was not the headline on September 12th, 2001? Over 4,000 unborn babies were killed that day. Oh, it's terrible, 3,500. But 4,000 the next day on the 12th. And 4,000 on the 13th, and 4,000 on the 14th, and 4,000 on the 15th, and 4,000 all the way up to today. Every day. And I don't hear any outcries. I don't hear any weeping. I don't see any anger. I mean, the penalty for killing an unborn eagle, a bird, is $5,000 and up to 5 years in jail. And it's not even a crime to kill an unborn baby as long as mom agrees. Does that make sense to anyone? Anyone? Statistics tell us, in this country, 1 in 4 women have had abortions. 1 in 10 that call themselves Christians or a member of some kind of a church have had abortions. That means probably all of us know someone who had an abortion. War is terrible. It's a horrible thing. Been there, done that, don't want to do it again. Revolutionary War, we lost 25,324 people. That's a lot of people. But in the Civil War, we didn't lose 25,000, we lost 498,332 Americans that were killed. World War II, we lost another 407,316. In the Korean War, we lost 54,246. In Vietnam, 56,655. In the Gulf War, 293. In the war on the unborn babies, there's been 31 million plus who've been killed legally since 1973. 6 times as many humans were killed by abortion as have been killed in all of our wars combined. Abortion is awful. Psalm 139, starting with verse 13. Says, for you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret, and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance, being yet unformed. And in your book, they were all written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. Let's talk for just a moment about that baby still in the mother's womb. Within 21 days, well before mom has any idea. 21 days, the baby's backbone, spinal cord, and nervous system are forming. A little tiny heart is present and beating. At 1 month, arms and legs are present. There's a head with rudimentary eyes and ears and mouth and brain. The digestive system has begun. The baby is only 1/4 of an inch long. But folks, that's 10,000 times larger than when it began. That's growth. At 2 months, the baby is fully formed, reacting to stimulus such as tickling. He'll try to grasp a tiny instrument with his tiny little hands. He swims or moves about in the amniotic fluid. He has the same fingerprints that he'll have when he's 90, and he's only 2 months old. At 3 months, as one writer put it, he can kick his legs, turn his feet, curl and fan his toes, make a fist, move his thumb, bend his wrist, turn his head, squat, frown, open his mouth, swallow and breathe. You know, that sounds like a human being to me, doesn't it? Yeah. That's at the end of 3 months. Folks, the lack of the value of life today is a result of godlessness, and nothing else. Many of our universities and many of our even schools have taught our young people that human beings are nothing more than highly organized, animated slime Our children are taught that they're cosmic accidents. Nothing more than time plus chance plus matter. Our society has rejected what God says, that humans have intrinsic dignity and value because they're created in the image of God. The psalmist tells us in Psalm 127 and verse 3, "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord." Did you ever think about it? You are God's crowning creation. You're the best. You're a human being. Did you know you're the greatest thing that God ever created? Genesis 1 and 27 says, "So God created man in his own image." We need to realize that we should never think of ourselves as being worthless. You aren't an assembly line project. You were deliberately planned, specifically gifted, lovingly positioned on this earth by a master craftsman that we call God. Psalm 100 and verse number 3 says, "Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, and the sheep of His pasture." You look out and you say, 4,000 a day? What can one person do? What can I do? And it's easy to say nothing. But there's a story that's told of a young man walking along a beach. You may have heard this story. And ahead of him, he saw another man walking. And the fellow out front kept bending over and picking something up and throwing it into the sea. And the young man was very curious. Couldn't figure out what he was doing. So he hurried forward and trying to catch up to this man and see what he was doing. And when he got closer, he saw that the reason the man stopped every couple steps was to pick up a starfish and throw it back in the ocean. You see, the beach was covered with starfish left there by the tide. The young man smiled and shook his head and hurried up and caught up to the older man and said, "Sir, don't you realize you can't do anything about this? There's thousands of starfish. And what you're doing can't make a difference." And the older man bent over and picked up one. He said, "It does to this one. It does to this one." Is there anything I can do, you can do, that's going to save all 4,000 that are going to die today? Probably not. But by delivering this lesson, by putting it out on the web, someone may listen to it and say one. And all I can say is thank you, God, for the privilege of delivering this lesson. If it can save one. I can only see two possibilities that are acceptable to God to an unwanted pregnancy. You can either raise and love the child, or you can put the child up for adoption. And I understand there's a third option. That's what we've been talking about today, and that's abortion. But folks, abortion is murder. Committing a sin to make up for a sin, to correct a sin, is as illogical and as wrong as you can be. Now, neither one, raising the child, in, particularly if you're a teenager, and giving up your childhood, that's not a good option. That's a tough way to go. I don't care if you're in your 20s or your 30s, trying to be a single mother is a tough way to go. That's hard work. And bearing the child and giving it away to someone else to raise, I can't imagine the pain of that. Having been the father of four and raised them, and I can't imagine having given one of them away. But it's certainly better than killing them. Killing them. Abortion is murder. We need to just get that in our heads. It's the taking of a human life. The good news is, God loves you. And if there are those in the audience today who've had an abortion, whether you're here in the room or you're online, God still loves you. And God wants to forgive you. And God wants you to love Him. Jesus tells us in John 14 and verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. The good news is there are brothers and sisters in Christ that will help you and love you and support you, either through a pregnancy or, if you've already aborted, through the grief of having done it. Over the 40-some years I've been preaching, I've been involved in both. God loves you, and God loves your baby, even before that baby's in your arms. God loves your baby. Let your baby live. Let your baby live to serve God. And you set the example of serving God. If you're here this morning and you've never been immersed for the forgiveness of your sins, God loves you. And He wants you to serve Him. Do you love Jesus? I'm not talking for a, oh yeah, that's easy to say. I already told you, Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. He tells us we need to repent or we'll perish. We can't pass over that lightly. Repentance is one of the most difficult things there is to do in the world. It requires us to look at ourselves, be honest with ourselves and with God, and say, I'm a sinner. And I can't do anything about it. Except feel sorrow and turn to you, God. He also tells us that we not only need to repent, we need to confess His name. We need to be willing to stand up and say, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Not only here this morning, that's easy. I'm talking about tomorrow morning. And the next morning. And the next morning. I believe that Jesus is the Christ. And then He tells us that we need to be buried with Him in baptism. Just like Ananias told Saul in our Bible study Wednesday night. said, rise and be baptized and wash away your sins. If you've truly repented, what joyous news that is. My sins can be washed away. Yes, they can. And God has provided the way. People try to wash away their sins all the time. They do it with a bottle or a pill or other forms of self-indulgence so they can forget they have sinned. And none of them work. You see, we wake up the next morning even more guilty than we did before. Would you like to have your sins washed away? Jesus stands ready to wash you in His blood. You may have done that at some time in the past, and then let the temptations of the world pull you back in. Jesus talks about a narrow path. It's easy to fall off a narrow path. You know, what is it we say? Our plans very seldom work out. If your plans haven't worked out, you need to repent. That's that hard word again. And then you need to pray. And just like the father of the prodigal, God is standing with His arms wide open, ready with a robe and a crown. Won't you come home? Won't you do it right now? While we stand, and David leads us.